Hello, and welcome to Zero Credits, the show where people with no credentials talk about things.
Scrap it.
Scrap it?
Scrap it.
That's not good.
Don't actually scrap it. Or scrap it. I mean, now I've ruined it.
Yeah, you have.
I just thought it would take the edge off.
This is John.
Hi.
And I'm Henry.
Hi.
John, say your name.
My name's John.
All right, we've got John, and I'm Henry, and we're going to talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We're going to talk about things despite having zero bona fides in those areas.
Yeah. Disclaimer, we are not experts in anything we talk about.
I don't even have a degree.
And I've got too many.
I never even went to high school.
And I did.
Well, you know.
Wait, you went to high school?
Didn't actually.
Were you homeschooled?
I was.
Wow.
I was homeschooled in a really negligent way where I didn't really go to class or learn anything.
So, like, you were in your room and you didn't go to the living room when it was class time?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that your...
Pretty much.
Your house was set up like a school.
Yeah, it was... There was, like, it was a shotgun house and we'd go down the hallway and there would be a classroom and I'm lying. Basically what it was is my mom would be like, read this book. And my dad would be like, read this book. And take these tests, and then I wouldn't.
Wow.
Yep.
Wait. How do you report to, like, a state institution or something?
Yes.
To like, get grades?
Yeah.
Or? Okay.
But it was fine.
Wow. So this is the podcast.
It is the podcast.
And that's kind of what we just did was kind of a taste of what it's going to be like.
We're a little amuse-bouche, if you will.
Or an hors d'oeuvre?
Yeah, my dad called them horse-doovers. Horse-doovers.
Am I even using that right? Was that a...
Yeah, no.
That wasn't an au revoir?
No, we'll talk about that later. One of the things we'll talk about is traditional forms of serving French cuisine.
Can't wait. But before we get into anything else, let's talk a little bit about what this podcast is. And so we're going to have a segment called, mm-hmm. What Are We Doing?
I like to think of my entire life as a segment entitled, What Are We Doing?
Me too.
So what are we doing today, Henry?
Oh, so today we're going to set up a few, I guess, rules or just how we're gonna run the podcast.
Okay.
And we're recording this because
that's about the reasoning I would expect. It's just, you know, we're making this happen for you. Things will change, things might not change. They'll change. Change is good.
Yeah. I mean, This is the point of all of this is to be kind of fluid.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm stuttering a little bit. I'm being very fluid with my pronunciation.
Yeah, like I want to be honest and fluid and kind of off the cuff, stream of consciousness.
All right.
And if we like stumble into any kind of formatting or gimmicks, it just happens.
Okay. I'm gonna.
Oh, click the pen. Okay.
I'm going to take notes.
All right.
This pen doesn't work. Fluidity.
Fluidity.
Is a plus. Are we going to, like, bring in topics every day? I mean, like, I did that today. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a thing we're going to want to do in the future.
I think we should see if it works. I mean, I can't see any reason why we shouldn't do that.
Okay.
Maybe, like, you bring in a topic, I bring in a topic, and then we just, you know, have a little rap talk about it.
All right. That sounds good. I like that. What about that, like, can we curse?
You tell me, Henry. Crap.
Oh, we just pushed it into PG-13 with that language, mister.
Welcome to PG-13. You can say fuck once.
Shit. That was it. That was our one.
You said shit.
But that wasn't... You could say...
Okay, wait. Let me walk back. We said fuck. We said shit. We said shit. I think that's an explicit tag.
Oh, man. Wait, does that actually factor in on iTunes?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Probably.
All right, cool.
People probably care.
I noticed on the audio that when I was writing, it actually showed up, so I stopped writing.
I don't think it spiked it out or anything. I think you're good.
Okay.
Let us know in the comments section. Wait, fuck.
Oh, do we have a comment section?
We do not.
Crap.
You should think.
Think hard about the comments you want to make, and then just, like, wishes, release them into the air.
Yeah, like, we will receive them, maybe, through the...
ether.
So Ralph Waldo Emerson,
okay,
believed in the concept of the oversoul.
I've read about
and
this.
And if you believe in your individual soul that we will receive these comments, we will? I love the Grapes of Wrath.
That's Salinger.
Yeah, but it was a lot of it, like, towards the end, was based on, like...
the oversoul.
Yeah, he loved... Was it Salinger? I thought it was, fuck, what's his name? No.
I might be testing you.
No.
No, Grapes of Wrath, I thought it was Salinger.
No, Steinbeck.
You're right.
Totally Steinbeck.
Those are the same people.
Yep. One wrote The Great Gatsby.
Who wrote Of Mouse and Men?
Also Steinbeck.
Like I said, Salinger.
Steinbeck's Mice and Men, The Pearl, Grapes of Wrath... That one super famous one he wrote. Great Gatsby. Nope. Not The Great Gatsby.
No, that Great Gatsby was somebody else, wasn't it?
One of us here has a master's of English.
That's me.
Yep.
Yeah, I have a master's in English, and as you can see, I've really done good work with it. I mean, technically, if we want to be technical about this, I have a master's of writing fiction disguised as an English master's degree.
Okay.
Like, on the certificate, it says an English master's, and master's in English, master's of arts, English. But it was fiction writing all the way.
Okay.
And
it's like how, I think that's really sad that, like, we have to be put into these categories, like, I have an English degree, when it doesn't actually reflect the complexities of our education.
I mean, like, the thing is, there isn't anything... that exists, such as a master's of fiction.
What they should do is they should make every degree different for everyone, potentially. Like, if you did mostly creative writing, you could have a master's in creative writing. If you did mostly creative writing and, I don't know, world history, you could get a master's in creative writing and world history.
Yeah.
You should be able to pick, like, sub... specializations in your specialization.
That would probably help you out with what you've got going on, right?
Because I mean, my degree doesn't even exist at the university anymore. Not really. Like, they're just gonna say that I have a BSBA in finance, but it's not
a BSBA.
A Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration, which is... saying science and business administration is kind of like an oxymoron, because business administration is hardly a science.
Okay.
Business administration, like, takes little tiny pieces of science and, like, turns it into this horrible monster that doesn't really exist.
Well. But the funny thing about this relationship is... John has read more than I have when it comes to literature things.
Not really.
Well, you retain it more, too.
I remember things.
I remember things. He doesn't remember to say the rut and remember, but you can bet your bottom dollar he'll remember everything.
You're right. That's, I write that on my CV. It's like,
yeah.
John, members, air thing.
Yeah, when we exchanged resumes to see if we wanted to hire each other to be co-hosts.
Yeah.
I remember that tagline on your CV.
You remember that tagline.
I did remember it. I remembered it very well.
You save a lot of time by cutting out the re.
Well, yeah. Well, plus, it's not like you are redoing it, because, like, each instance of bringing up the event again is its original instance. So you are just remembering it for the first time each time.
I wonder what the etymology of remember is. That's actually a personal hobby of mine, is etymology.
Is that true?
I really love etymology. Like, I love pedantic histories of words.
One of my favorite things about, you know, being a student was that I had access to the Oxford English Dictionary online.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm no longer a student, I don't have that anymore.
Can't you just, like, download the Oxford English Dictionary?
I don't know about that.
Is it... I mean, surely you could, like, pirate it or something. I don't know.
It's a website that you pay a membership to.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't... As someone who's never taken an English class above, like, world literature, which is just, like, a high school class in college, I don't know that much about the
the resources?
I recently was hip to Purdue Owl. I'm like, oh, cool.
Wait, you just found out about Purdue Owl?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Do you know how I learned to write in MLA?
How?
I read the entire Writer's Harbrus.
Well, that's one way to do it. Yep. Or you could have just Googled it.
Yep.
Found Purdue Owl.
Yep.
And just handled it all.
When I first got to college, in the first class, I trusted my professor so much. She was like, you need to read... Is it Harbrace or Harbrus?
That's a wonderful question.
Harbrace, whatever. And she was like, you need to read this to understand how to write in the formatting I want. I was like, well, of course I'll read all of it. Why a professor wouldn't tell me something that's inefficient, like an inefficient way to get information. They'd never do that. They're not paid to tell you to buy textbooks and read them when you don't need to. Right?
Right.
Also, I had that class at 8 o'clock in the morning. I used to make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Well... Question for you now. Having gone through that, mm-hmm. Do you remember the specifics of the MLA format?
Fuck no.
Oh.
I also hate MLA.
Why?
I mean, I can still... Like, if I think about it, I can still produce something in MLA pretty easily. And I like that MLA is kind of loose. Like, stylistically.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it comes to, like, quote blocks, what's a quote block? Is a gotcha. Quote block okay in MLA? What length does the quote need to be for a quote block? I don't know.
I mean, really and truly, those sort of things, like MLA, all APA, all of those formats.
Fuck APA, by the way.
It's just how do you handle the quote? Mm-hmm. It literally doesn't matter.
What I liked, the English classes that I've taken that I like the most, the professor doesn't particularly care as long as you convey an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, as long as it's concise, you make your points, you have an interesting idea, and you conclude, you get an A.
Well, I mean, sure. I really don't have any strong thoughts on how to run an English class, because yeah. The way I ran an English class, I taught Composition 101.
Yeah.
And I kind of did it your way, where it's like, as long as I can see that you're trying to do what I'm laying out, like, mm-hmm. You know, I'm just covering the basics of writing a paper.
Yeah.
As long as you're trying to do that, then who am I to step in and say, oh, sorry, you didn't dot your I's and cross your Q's, so you're going to have to start over again. Yeah. Like, I'm not, like, the guardian of expressing ideas. It's not who I want to be.
I mean, that's the thing that I have a problem with things like MLA, is as guidelines, I feel like they're important when people don't know how to write. But holding people to those guidelines at a certain point in their, like, academic career is, like, the guideline is being a guardian to the English language that's unnecessary.
And really and truly, the reason why MLA exists is to stop plagiarism from happening. It's just, how are you treating your sources? Mm-hmm. With a little bit of, like, okay, one, it's margins and, like, page numbers and stuff. Mm-hmm. The extra stuff that's just, like, so you don't get, like, a paper written in hot pink and on Jokerman font.
Nice Jokerman. Most people have said Comic Sans.
Well, I mean, as a fan of Jokerman, I have to promote it. At all times.
That's your Twitter handle, at JokermanFan.
Well, not really.
It's not really. It's not.
My Twitter. Nah, we're not going to do that.
Let's do that later.
Okay. But, you know, all of this talk about English stuff actually roundaboutly brought up, is bringing us to my first topic.
What a classic segue. Is that, I don't know what segue means.
It's what you ride. It has two wheels and you lean forward and that's how you go.
Okay. So like hoverboard.
Without... Yeah, they're the same.
Nice!
One
seems much more likely to kill you based on seeing Mike Tyson fall over.
Are we talking about the hoverboards? Because, yeah. Like, I know we're segueing, but still.
We don't actually need to talk about hoverboards.
Hold up, I've seen so many people fall off hoverboards, and then the hoverboard keeps going into a pool.
Yep, that's pretty great. You know, the Venn diagram of people who have hoverboards and people who own a pool... Just a circle. There is no one who owns a hoverboard that does not already have enough money themselves, or their family has enough money just pool.
Yeah, and I really don't get it, because apparently they explode, too.
I mean, I've seen people jump on them and, like, break in half and start smoking. And it's crazy. You know what's crazy? What's fucking crazy with hoverboards?
They don't hover! Anyway.
Well, that's crazy, too. But people buy these things for, what, I don't know, $300, $200, $300?
There's hundreds there.
But they started on these things on AliExpress and Alibaba, which are these Chinese, like, Amazon.
Oh.
Similar to Amazon. And they're really cheap Chinese toys that started selling for 50 or 60 bucks. And the demand got so high that now they've priced themselves into their own market.
Wow.
There is nothing improved about them for the cost. Like, there are American companies making, like, one-wheel weird skateboard things that are like $400 that have the craftsmanship there to maybe make up for it. But they're just these plastic, shitty, niche things for rich people.
It's crazy, because, like, when I was growing up, the it thing with, like, okay, it's not a bike, it's not a skateboard, it was the scooter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, you gotta get the Razor scooter with the colors and the grips. But the thing was, it was like $20.
Yeah.
It wasn't electric, you know, and everybody could have one.
Yeah.
It seems like as we progress, it's like the new it thing is like a Segway or a hoverboard. It's things that are expensive for no reason.
Yeah. There's a really strange, not strange, it's pretty explainable by people with a greater vocabulary than me, but this connection between price to value that isn't what you think it is. It's price to... It's price to, like, mental value.
Gotcha.
Like, you know, look at the pineapple.
I would, but we don't have one here, unless you're talking about a figurative
pineapple. A figurative pineapple.
All right, I'm looking at
it. We also need a pineapple.
I will get one for the next episode.
But the pineapple used to be, I forget the time period, I want to say, I don't know.
16th century?
Let's say 16th century, that's I don't know.
Probably too early, but yeah, let's go with
it. But when pineapples were coming back on ships, people were like, oh, these pineapples are great, they're so naturally flavorful, they're crazily sweet, they look beautiful. And people were freaking out about pineapples. You can see architecture that has the pineapple built into its columns.
I've seen that.
Yeah. You know why? Because people fucking worship the pineapple.
Really?
And then once people started cultivating pineapples and they become cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, no one pays attention to the pineapple anymore. Same fruit, probably sweeter now than it was before.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing, but as it got cheaper, people didn't like it as much. Because when things are expensive, people enjoy it more.
Unless you're talking about the McRib.
I know nothing about the McRib.
I don't either. I don't know why I brought it up.
Oh. Was that the segue? The McRib?
No.
You know, we really fucked up the segue thing, because we segued seemingly perfectly into what you wanted to say, and then we just, like, slid back down the hill.
Oh, we actually didn't get to what I wanted to say.
Exactly. Like, we got to it and past it, and then we have to go back.
This is all part of the segue.
Okay.
Yeah, this was a really long segue.
This is my favorite segue.
And you know what's great is the next part has nothing to do with the previous part.
What if every time we said segue, we said hoverboard? Let's not do that.
All right. Well, I'm about to hoverboard over here to my next topic.
Perfect.
The pluralization pronunciation of they.
Explain this to me.
Okay. So what if you're talking in general about a person that you... It's not a specific person. This could be any person. The singular form is you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, or, you know, you're talking very in general.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know the gender, you would say he or she.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, an example of a sentence would be, like, you're talking about a user. It's like, he or she is going to input the command now.
Mm-hmm.
People are finding that clunky.
Yeah.
And they have for years. And it already has been in popular usage to just use the word they.
Okay.
So, like, they will be here soon.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically transporting something out of, like, vernacular English, because no one says he or she.
Yeah.
Just like in a conversation they say they.
Yeah.
So it's taking something out of vernacular English and putting it into formal English.
The thing is, what's sparking all this is recently the dictionary has come out, you know. You know what dictionaries do, John?
They change depending on what words happen to be popular in the zeitgeist.
Exactly.
And thus language changes as a whole?
Dictionaries are what keep languages alive. They track the changes of words throughout time.
Yeah.
So if the dictionaries are changing, that's great.
Yeah.
So the dictionary has changed the pluralization of a general person from he or she to they, reflecting the popular speech, the vernacular usage of that word.
So is it worth modernizing the dictionary to lose clarity? Because it seems like they doesn't have a ton of clarity.
Well, neither does he or she.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess by its definition, it says or.
Yeah.
So it's like a Schrodinger's cat. Let's not talk about... I have a very poor grasp of Schrodinger's cat. I need to do some research.
Okay. Well, I don't want to talk about Schrodinger's cat.
The cat is either a he or a she, depending on the half-life of the nuclear... I don't know.
It's 2016, John.
Schrodinger's cat is dead.
Well, no.
Oh.
There are more than he or she.
You're right.
That's another reason why they're bringing in they, mm-hmm. is because of this whole thing, other thing. Like, people are now, you know, picking their own pronouns to use.
Yeah.
So they might not want to go by he or she.
Mm-hmm.
They seems to be like a blanket to kind of cover all of that up.
Mm-hmm. That's something... I feel like we're currently in a... What's the word when there's a bunch of something?
Cornucopia?
Nah.
Sorry.
We're experiencing a panoply of, like, trans rights stories. Cornucopia totally works. Totally shut you down on cornucopia. But like...
I don't want to derail us, but a planoply?
Panoply?
A panoply.
Panoply. That's a word.
All right. Here's some homework for you folks at home. Look up panoply.
Panoply.
And now we'll just get back to our regular broadcast.
All right.
Trans rights stories.
I'm just saying we rights for trans people have, look at the Golden Globes that just happened. Fuck, I dated the podcast.
Oh, God.
God damn it.
Did you at least pay for dinner?
Look at the 2000... Oh.
I'm sorry.
If you don't pay for dinner, it's not a date. Just kidding. You can go Dutch. It's just fine. So
look at the 2016 Golden Globes.
Like, Ricky Gervais made some really tone-deaf, kind of transphobic jokes.
Are you talking about when he said, I've gone through a lot of changes, not as much as Bruce Jenner?
Yeah.
He did say she's going by Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
So there's at least an effort there.
But that was a strange joke to make. And then he made, like, a Jeffrey Tambor joke about...
He did.
Which... was also tone deaf, because it's like, hey, this is a show that does a lot for trans people. Make a joke about testicles. But also, I know that also goes into the culture of offense thing we have going on, where I don't know if I'm offended at that by its merit or because I feel I should be offended.
Here's the thing about that opening monologue of the Golden Globes. I watched it, and okay, this is his fourth time coming back. The first few times it was like, oh, what's he gonna do next? I feel like Ricky Gervais, he's doing the jokes he expects people to expect from him.
Because I feel like they're, like, going into the Golden Globes, I saw like three stories, and one was on Slate that was like, oh, here are the most risque jokes Ricky Gervais couldn't tell at the Golden Globes. So they do expect a certain amount of extremeness from him.
But like, he was really tame. I didn't find anything offensive. Like, okay, there was, like, I was offended more by his lack of effort.
Yeah,
he was just easy target.
Look at the entire Golden Globes as an award ceremony.
The funniest thing about the Golden Globes is the actors are allowed to drink,
mm-hmm.
and so they get drunk by the end of the night. They're laughing at everything.
Quentin Tarantino got shit-faced. Listen to his speech. Oh my God.
Oh.
It's great.
Did he win for Hateful Eight?
Yeah.
What category? Music?
Yes.
Really?
I think so. His whole speech was about Ennio Morricone. I did not actually watch
Golden
Globes. I just saw a series of animated GIFs about his speech. So I'm just 100% fucking buzzfeeding it up right now.
That is the best way to get your news, ladies and gentlemen. John endorses this wholeheartedly.
I endorse getting your news from sleepily reading your Facebook feed and looking at animated GIFs that someone keeps sending you.
That is fantastic.
It is.
So I guess we are going to talk about current events some. Since
I mean,
that
we
just
have
happened.
To. It's something. I mean, we exist within. We do not have enough artifice on this podcast to avoid talking about things that are currently happening.
Probably.
But it's fine.
I mean, as long as we're doing that, have you seen the headline lately about how Jennifer Lawrence apparently was rude to a journalist who doesn't speak English as his first language?
I have not.
Alright, so here's the story. As far as I understand it, Jennifer Lawrence was, she was doing an interview with this journalist.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is Jennifer Lawrence the Hungry Games lady?
She is Hunger Games.
Okay. All right, so I don't really know celebrities.
That's
like
fine.
All right. Most of them.
I'll refer to her as Hungry Games.
Okay.
So Hunger Games was backstage.
Hungry Games. Shit.
So Hunger Games was backstage at the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
And this reporter, this journalist wanted to ask her a question. His English was not his first language, so he took out his phone to translate the question.
Okay.
And is looking at the phone to make sure he's pronouncing it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And she called him out for not looking up from his phone.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's dumb. But failure to... That's a misunderstanding.
I think we should just tar and feather... I'm just kidding, you're right.
I think she should be burned at the stake.
But... We live in an age right now where technology is at its peak for helping people communicate.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, she's calling out, like, a potential miscommunication for not, like, looking up.
I mean, we live in a society right now where technology has this tremendous ability to aid people at basically every turn, but we also hate technology more than we have... Like, this whole, like, screen time guidelines for kids and teenagers...
What is this?
The government wants to publish guidelines for schools to follow, being like, kids should only spend this much time on their phones and this much time on computers. It's like, screen time is not... You can't just say screen time. Because I could spend... If I had an hour in front of a computer, I could watch YouTube videos of people doing extreme eating challenges for an hour.
Nice.
Or I could go to Khan Academy and learn calculus.
While somebody eats in the background.
Yeah. But no, like, the fact that we just say screen time is this bad thing, we need to treat it like everything else. It's like, you can't just say that reading a book is good.
Yeah.
Because if you just say reading a book is good, people will read a bunch of, like, Danielle Steele and Mercedes Lackey novels and not learn anything.
Wow. Just throwing Danielle Steele under the bus tonight.
I mean, I'm not a fan.
I mean...
Are you?
I mean, I'm not going to say no. Just in case she's listening.
I mean,
I don't want to nail it.
I've read her books. They're not bad. They just don't enrich you.
Gotcha. No, that's a good point. When I was growing up, I had these two friends, and their parents regulated how much that... Like, they would each get an hour a day.
Yeah.
And they actually introduced me to Diablo.
Okay.
Which was the funniest thing.
How could you play Diablo if you can only play it for an hour a day?
I don't know. And they let me play. I'm like, oh, I'm having fun. I was like, yeah, but, you know, apparently, like, this is counting as my time.
Oh, God.
I was like, oh, I want to take your time. I'm not here to do that.
Yep.
It's like, let's just play Risk, because that's not, so it's like, it became like, they were weirdly possessive of their time
on
the computer.
I mean, they would have to be, because, you know, I think you need time to, like, interface with the thing that you're doing as your hobby.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they should use it. I mean, I'm saying this retroactively about your friend's parents' choices from, like, 47 years ago. But I'm just really against, in general, people saying, like, you can only have this much time to do this. You should say, just do it in moderation. Do it intelligently.
Yeah.
The fact that we have these, like, binary ultimatums for our kids and our coworkers and our friends is crazy. Like, I have a tendency to look at my phone. I'm a phone looker.
Ooh.
Right? Just kill me now.
Wow. I really wish I had known that about you since we're now doing this together. Yeah.
I've actually never looked up from my phone since we started recording.
It's true, folks. I hadn't noticed it until he pointed it out, because that's what he's always doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a phone glued to my face.
You know, we talked about this, I think, the other day. People looking at phones.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't see that in, like, TV or movies.
No.
You never see someone just kind of, like, casually pull their phone out in conversation.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you want to talk about, like, how people interact in real life versus how people interact in movies have not caught up with modern times at all. Like, look how many movies have successfully communicated how prevalent and important text messages are. Two or three movies, maybe Sherlock has done that.
Yeah, I mean, as far as television goes, Sherlock does a good, because they make it more of a visual aspect of the show. It's not like we're staring at the screen, we're staring at the messages as they pop up on the screen. Yeah. It's more, it feels more exciting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's also important to have them projected out of the characters and in the real world, because you don't perceive text messages as, I'm looking at a screen, this is what the screen says. So having these unnecessary cuts to a cell phone to be like, this is the fake cell phone environment we came up with because we couldn't pay anyone.
Yeah.
And this is what it says. The audience doesn't maintain that information. The way you receive that information if you get a text message was, it's just part of your life now.
Yeah.
Like, you read it, you internalized it, you understood it. So just seeing it pop up over the character is much more realistic.
I think we're actually getting to a point in movies and stuff where that, where tech, at least text messages are happening more.
Yeah.
But still, just the casually looking at the phone, mm-hmm. unless like you're a background character, or that might even be too distracting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, we don't see that. And I want to ask, is that sort of a reflection of the love-hate relationship that we have with technology, where we love it, but we also kind of are, we hate how much we use it?
I definitely think that films do tend to be a romantic representation of reality generally. But if you want to maintain any amount of verisimilitude...
I can't say that word.
Verisimilitude. If you want to maintain any level of that, you need to show people how they would actually interact. But maybe I can imagine looking at a phone would be filmically, like cinematically, very weak. Like, you want to have two characters having a conversation, it's hard to not make them look detached, which... Also, if you look at your phone in a conversation, you look kind of detached.
Yeah. It used to be a thing where people would glance at their watch just to see the time in a conversation. People are like, oh, am I boring you?
Yeah.
And today's equivalent is taking out the phone to check the time.
Yeah, but I mean, it's crazy the... As technology becomes more advanced and more convenient for us, we just keep collapsing information down and condensing more. It's like, I took my phone out to see what time it is,
mm-hmm.
because that's important to me. But in seeing what time it is, I see my battery percentage, I see what apps are running, I see who's texted me.
Yeah.
I see the progress I've made in ClickQuest or whatever.
Have you ever taken your phone out to check the time? And then, like, you unlock it, and then, like, something else is on the screen. And
yep.
So, like, you get distracted, you put your phone back, and you realize you never check the time.
Yep. All the time.
Yeah.
I bought a watch for that reason. This is the first watch I've ever owned.
Wow.
And it's because I would so often take my phone out, and I have this relatively large Android phone that just shoves the time over in the corner. So, like, when I unlock it, it's like, oh, content's hidden, all this stuff that I need to click on and unlock my phone for. That's like, oh, this message, this Snapchat story, though I don't have Snapchat anymore. Someone posted this thing to your group on Facebook.
Oh, God.
And then, like, I'm like, that's a lot of information. Close. Well, I never actually checked the time.
Yeah. It's, you know, you mentioned your first watch. I remember this, I guess this might have something to do with, like, this... time as technology, because like in high school they would hide the clocks.
Yeah,
it's like a casino, you know, there are no clocks and mm-hmm. like visible in the building. So I bought a watch because I didn't want to not have that information. I want to know, is class almost over? And they're like, don't get distracted by the clock. But it's like, but I need to know, because like I've got a schedule to keep.
I mean, I've never understood that, because I think that's just a cynical way to view the clocks.
I guess.
As ridiculous as... Because people think, oh, they're just going to stare at the clock and be like, oh, is class over? I don't think people would do that. It doesn't seem realistic.
I've had so many teachers lecture me about time in my public school career. I remember this was either fourth or sixth grade, because I had the same teacher for fourth and sixth grade.
Yeah.
And she had this very dramatic speech about how it would never be 2:11 on this date again. That second, that minute is gone forever.
Yeah.
And like, she was trying to put the fear of time in us.
Mm-hmm.
We were too young to understand. I'm like, wait, no. Next year there's going to be another 2:11 on that date.
Duh.
A year later.
Mm-hmm.
that's me rallying against authority in my own feeble-minded way.
Yeah.
I just didn't get the fact that, okay, she does kind of have a point, but yeah. The speech was over, like, 2 minutes long.
That's really not necessary.
Come on!
It's like, you should live your life. Just use the time you get now. Come on, do it. Yeah. Do it, buddy.
I also had an English teacher in public school who was like, he taught... this is actually interesting. The eye can see movement to such a degree that we can't really comprehend the second hand on a clock ticking.
Mm-hmm.
It takes longer for our brain to comprehend that second than an actual second.
Okay.
So if you sit there and stare at a clock, time literally slows down.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I say literally. Your perception of time is what is literally slowing down.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference between something literally happening and something happening only in your perception? I think, therefore, I am.
All right, Descartes.
Perception is reality.
Mr. Descartes over Descartes. Here. What's his name?
Descartes.
Descartes. Like I said, no credentials.
It's true. I mean, I think we've proven thus far that we're pretty bad at remembering things and pronouncing things.
Yeah. Maybe as we go along, we'll get better at those things.
I think something that this podcast will do is it gives us reason to do research and like think more critically and openly about things, because we're essentially giving ourselves accountability to know things, kind of.
Yeah.
Because I think, at least for me, the entire point of this podcast is I want to sound like I know what I'm talking about, even though I have zero credentials.
I just want to be interesting.
Want people to think I'm a good person.
All right. Why? Why bring that up?
Let's talk about something else.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Let me put something in it. I was gonna say, like, in the interest of getting better, like most of the things I'm probably gonna talk about are just stories mm-hmm. that I've experienced, and I was gonna relate a story. When I started teaching my 101 class, my handwriting on the board was deplorable, and my mm-hmm. students called me out, like, we can't read that. And I made a promise to them that I would try to get better
mm-hmm.
by the end of my second class. So, you know, forget those first kids.
Well, yeah.
This new set of kids, my handwriting was pretty darn impeccable.
Nice.
So I'm going to make a promise to you, our listeners, to work on pronunciation and memorization, or just recall, or I don't care.
So once our second batch of listeners comes in, once these other ones have graduated,
once this podcast tanks and I'm on my second podcast,
it's gonna be so much better.
So much better.
Oh, it'll be crazy.
Yeah,
man, I can't wait for this podcast to tank.
Well, we've got a long time coming. Do you have another topic?
Do I have another topic? I have another story.
Oh, you have a story.
I do have a story.
Everyone, this is where you put your blankets around you and cuddle up, because this is a segment we're going to call John Has a Story.
Yes.
So
it's very important.
Here it is, John.
I don't have a lot of stories because, like I said, I've never been to school. But I did. So I have an interest in astronomy, a passing interest. Like, of the interests I have, it's pretty low. It's like on that back right burner on the stove. It gets all the oil on it because you never use it, so you have to turn it on for 5 minutes so all the oil burns off. Anyway, so I had to take science electives because I am a business major, which is adult daycare. So I took astronomy, and I never took the lab. So I took the lab a year and a half later, and it was taught by a TA, as labs often are. And I'm really good with accents, just generally speaking. Like, I'm fantastically good at understanding people compared to my peers. But it was taught by this guy named something Durga, and he was an Indian gentleman who's probably very nice, but I couldn't understand a word that he said. And we were in this dark, super cold room in the technology center, just like freezing our asses off because the air was not working. Everyone was in big, heavy coats. And every time he would speak, people would groan and, like, you know the sound of disquiet when you hear people, like, groan and shift in their seats and move back and throw their heads back?
Yeah.
Like, you heard the agony, like, in waves radiating out from him, because people knew that the lab was going to be hard, because it's a solar system astronomy class. It's like a 102 class, but it's one of the harder sciences you can take. So he says this one sentence over and over and over again, and I have no idea what he's saying. And I think, upon thinking about it, he was saying, you know the concept of the atom. And I don't know how he got there.
Okay.
But I can't mimic how he said it. But I can say that he then said the sentence, should I write it down? Which took a few tries, and the people were like, yes, yes, please. Write down what you're going to write. He turned over, and he started writing on the whiteboard, and it was fucking hieroglyphics. Just garbage. You could not tell it was English. It was awful.
You know about the atom.
I have no idea how he got there.
That what you just described sounds like the weirdest dystopian novel. You're in
pretty much.
You know, it's nuclear winter. You're all in heavy coats. There's a guy in the front of a room, and he's barking unintelligibly, and it's just like writing it down, and then he draws like a picture of the moon and points to it, and you impart meaning from that.
Pretty much. It was
wow.
He was such a. I think how he got to you know the concept of the atom. Was he kept asking us questions, but he... Okay, so we all know that an essential part of asking a question is the upward inflection at the end. You're like, would you like an apple?
In English, yes.
You know the concept of atom?
Yeah.
In English, yes. This guy has apparently lived here for like 7 years. Anyway, okay. He was apparently asking us questions, but he kept like breaking it down infinitesimally, because we were talking about scientific notation, which is easy. But he just kept, like, breaking it down. I think he broke it down through enough questions that he thought we didn't know what atoms were. So he was like, do you know what atoms are? And I'm pretty sure in his mind, he thought he was communicating it well. And then he was like, oh, I'm going to Dead Poet Society this. Teach all these kids what atoms are. Turn this whole thing around. And we were just like, what are you talking about?
I really want to see the Dead Poet Society. the astronomy version of Dead Poet Society.
Where he just, like... Yeah, that'd be all right.
Oh, starship captain, my starship captain.
Starships don't exist.
Well, I mean, it's astronomy. What else? Isn't it just calculating how to get to Matt Damon?
Yeah, pretty much. You're like, what is Matt Damon's third law? And then from that, you calculate the density of Matt Damon. Mass of Matt Damon.
Yeah, he's...
Can you calculate density using Kepler's third law?
Only if it's Matt Damon.
You're right. We're in Good Will Grunting.
Good Hill Grunting? What?
In Good Hill Grunting.
Good Will Grunting.
It said on the chalkboard, it was like, find the mass, the density of Matt Damon. And then Matt Damon walked up to it and he wrote Matt Damon.
Man, that's deep.
It is deep. It's my favorite movie.
It's so deep. Wow. You know what's really deep?
Yes.
The Marianas Trench.
What's with the Marianas Trench?
It's pretty deep.
It's really deep.
That was a dumb segue.
Is it a segue if it doesn't go anywhere? So what your segue did was someone fell off it that went to a pool.
I guess that was a dumb hoverboard then.
Yep.
Well, wow. We sure have talked.
We sure have talked for quite a little while.
What? You wanna... We wanna wrap a bow on this thing?
We can probably keep going. No. Yeah, we can probably wrap it up.
I think
this is a pretty natural stopping point.
I mean, I think, yeah.
What is this, like 40? This is a solid 30. This is a tight 30.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a tight 30 once we edit out all that bullshit.
We're very just, like, showing our hands with this.
I mean, I don't think anyone benefits from not knowing how the sausage is made.
All right.
Edit out the part where I told them how the sausage was made.
I will do that. And don't worry, I won't let them know that you have done it personally and often.
Fantastic. Yeah. And please send us emails. Wherever we end up hosting this, you can probably get in contact with us in some way. You should suggest ways in which we can rein this shit in. Ways in which we can improve.
Right, right. So when we post this, you know, like it on the wherever we post it.
Okay, so and I want you to give it a scrabble.
Scrabble it. Definitely scrabble it. You have to.
Just
it's mandatory just to hear
just
it.
Just click the scrabble, give it a scrabble, and then just scrabble all day long.
The most important part is to tell your friends to scrabble.
Yeah.
If they don't scrabble, then your scrabble doesn't count.
It's true. And if if you get two friends to scrabble, you can exponentially scrabble.
Yeah. So what, yeah, if you scrabble two friends, then yeah. they scrabble two friends, and that's like eight friends scrabbling, and then that all equals one really big scrabble, and then we can get bonus points.
Yeah, we cash in the scrabbles.
Yeah, and
they're like tickets.
Then we can improve the show that you just fell in love with at first listen.
Yep. Good sport.